Okay, sir, the recorder's on.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Franklin Township Board of Trustees regular bi-weekly meeting. It's September 10th, 2020 at 6:30 p.m. I'm going to ask Trustee Fleshman to lead us in our opening prayer.
Okay, before we start, I wanted to, of course, everyone here, my printer probably printing. There we go. I wanted to inform the residents as well as the board. Mr. Horn is not with us tonight due to health issues. He has had some respiratory issues. He had surgery today. He is currently resting at the hospital. He may be signed on just to listen in, but he's not partaking in the meeting. So when we go to prayer, I'm going to ask for prayer that we be with Mr. Horn's family, as well as the healing of Mr. Horn as well. So let's just bow our heads and go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunities that we have to come together as our local government. We ask that you be with us today, Lord, as we have some big decisions to make, and Lord, that we know it's been tough getting to this point, and I want to include Mark Potts for all the issues that he's had to put this together, and it hasn't been easy. We ask that you be with the board as we make these decisions and that we work together as one. We ask that you be with Mr. Ralph Horn, or Mr. Horn, and his families in this time of crises in his household. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Thank you. So I'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance here. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. At this time, I will ask for a roll call vote, please.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And Ralph will be noted as excused, Chairman?
Yes.
Thank you.
Please. At this time, I'll make a motion to approve the following meeting minutes for 8-6-20 special meeting, the August 6, 2020 regular meeting, the August 13th special meeting, the August 20th regular meeting, and the August 20th special meeting.
Yes, sir. I second that, sir.
Okay. During no debate, I'll call the question and ask for roll call, please.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And Ralph's excused.
Oh. Thank you. All right. At this time, we have a couple of guest speakers here to update us on a few things. I'm going to welcome Joseph Durham and Mary Long from SWACO. They're here to kind of give us an update on Consortium 2 and the bid process and what the bids look like and what some of our next steps may look like. So, Joe, I'll hand it over to you.
All right. Thank you. Good evening. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay, great. So, trustees, I am Joe Durham, an attorney with Eastman & Smith. I am contract counsel with SWACO. Mary Long is also on the call here, I believe.
Yeah, I'm here, Joe. Thanks.
And I don't know if you can give Mary sharing rights so she could pull up a little presentation.
Yeah, I think Mark can do that.
Yeah.
I think Mark, you have to make her a co-host.
While that's coming up, I can let you know. So, you know, the township has been a member of SWACO's Consortium 2 over the years. They have participated, and then in the last round, I don't think participated, but Local Waste is the Consortium 2 service provider currently and is providing services to the majority of your residents without the exclusive hauler contract. But the township went out with Consortium 2 for bids with the village of Bryce, Clinton, Pleasant, Sharon, and Truro.
Mr. Chairman, do you know what we're currently at now? I'm seeing this for the people at home. I'm seeing a price 2020 of $13.75 with a 17 cent per month and a 50 cent per quarter billing. What we currently are paying with local waste, so that people have an idea. I don't have my previous bill in front of me.
I don't have my bill in front of me either, unfortunately, and I just don't know it off the top of my head.
Robin, would you happen to know? She's great at numbers.
Currently, I'm with Local Waste as well, and currently I pay about $45 a quarter.
Okay, so we are looking at this per month, so that's a significant savings.
Yeah, so the there were two bids that went out on the street, one for recycling services, so you would have a place to process the recyclables, and Roki was the only bidder for that, and they gave a price of $35 per ton tipping fee to have your collector of your waste and recyclables tip the recyclables there. But they also provided an alternative revenue sharing formula. So the ceiling of that price would be $35 all the way down to zero. And the collector is responsible for paying that fee. But then there's an opportunity if the recycling markets would significantly change, that there could be some revenue sharing up to $20. So I think that, you know, it's the only bid. And we have a process where we like to lock in that bid for those 5 years so that your contractor has a place to take their recyclables. Local Waste currently bid $19.39 a month. Now that's for three services: picking up your unlimited waste at the curb, picking up your recyclables in either an 18-gallon bin, you can get another one, or residents can rent larger carts for that. And the quarterly billing is $60 a month. So ultimately, you would get all three of those services for $19.99 a month. And that does include our standard discount for senior citizens of either 10% or $1.50.
So I have a question, if I may. I don't know how to raise my hand and be able to see it.
Go for it, Don.
At $60 per quarter, and we're having residents currently now pay $45, and that's with the same service, because we do have, we're not with Local Waste, has it at $45. And they do the recycling as well. If you want the bigger container, they can rent that to you. If you have your own container, then you're allowed to use it. My question would be, this is a significant difference in pricing for our residents.
Yes, so Consortium 2 has really had 10 years of a price locked in at $14, you saw on that first slide. You know, these rates are market rates. You see what Rumpke bid there is $21.32. We've had several different consortium bids recently, and we were really expecting something in the $19 range. For the other communities that have had the Consortium 2 services for the last 10 years, you know, we told them you're going to expect an increase here based upon the market and the idea that, you know, what other utility, Consortium 2 had the same price for 10 years, and I just can't imagine a water bill or an electric bill or something not going up during that time. So this is an opportunity to lock in that price again for 5 years, even though I understand it is an increase over what your current services are.
It's $15.
And Joe, it would probably be fair to say that if we don't lock this in now and folks continue to do on their own, that their individual bills will go up significantly more than the amount here in the consortium. Is that right?
I would anticipate that, yes. Yeah.
So by locking this rate in for the next 5 years, we would essentially be saving residents money, even though it is an increase now.
And I don't know, do they pick up yard waste at the curb as well under the current service?
Okay, I got it. I'm good.
They have, yes.
Okay.
See, we have a lot of seniors that are on this, and I know if Mr. Horn was here, he's kind of like the trash man of the township, and there's several that I can think of that are on Little Avenue that call me, even when we were seeing small differences. One lady explained to me, it may be a small difference to you, but it's the difference between me cutting my bills in half. And so, that's what alerted me when I see this at $60 more a year.
So,
John, I hear that. I'm also afraid that if we don't do this, it's not going to be $60 a year. It's going to be $100 a year this year, and then maybe more the following year. And that's what my fear is.
Right. Even with local waste, as majority of the people staying with local waste, once the contract ran out, either they don't know that there is a contract or they chose to stay with them. However, with that being said, what are we to do tonight, Mr. Chairman? Are we wanting to move on this? Because I would
we're just getting information. This is I think, Joe, you can walk us through what the next steps need to be, but this is just a conversation at this point.
Yeah, really. So whenever the vote takes place, there should be a vote to approve the collection contract to local waste at the local bidder, lowest bidder, and then also to approve the contract with Rumpke for the recycling processing. I will say in comments to, obviously everybody understands the cost, with the 10% discount, that's actually, I think it's $1.39, so it's $1.50 that would be taken off the $19.39.
Do they, this is Trustee Fleshman again, one of the services that a lot of our seniors like, and even some of the widows that cannot take their trash cans to the street, local waste will come up their driveway, pick up the can, take it down, dispose of it, and bring it back. Will they offer that same service?
So there is a law in Ohio, so if somebody is disabled, they have to do it. We have that carry-out service as a price in the bid package, and it looks like it was bid at $25.
So what is the criteria for someone to sign up for that? To sign up for the... That it's not, is it additional money here regardless, even though it's by law?
No, not if the person qualifies under the statute as disabled.
Can you share what that statute is a little bit?
Yeah, let me pull it up here.
The reason that I'm thorough on this is because we're not in an open quorum, and we have a lot of our residents that are listening in, and I
trying to make sure I cover all the questions that they may be thinking for themselves right now, and they can't raise their hand and ask.
Oh, sure. Probably know exactly what procedure. Yeah, so let's see. So it's chapter, or revised code, section 4503.44, and any resident with a physical disability which limits or impairs the ability to walk is the statute. And so otherwise, the contractor will provide that service for an additional fee.
So is that something that they, just like, say, for instance, you get a handicapped placard, do you have to have something from your doctor? How do they say, hey, I can't walk? Do they say you need a note from your doctor? What is the process? I'm sure it's streamlined.
Yeah, I've been doing these consortium contracts for 15 or more years, and I don't think that I've ever heard of an issue. So I think the waste haulers are pretty lenient on when somebody makes that request. And it would seem to me that's something we can look at, certainly going forward, about what that process should look like.
Okay. I'm just trying to, as again, cover some of these questions that some of the people may have. You know, a lot of our people, if they was to have to get someone to take them to the doctor, to get something signed, to get something turned in, we're trying to make this as seamless and painless as possible.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the actual statute so I can give you more detail, but over. It would be the handicap. It's the same statute: windshield, placards, license plate, and parking cards for walking impaired persons.
So they would have to get a certification from a doctor that says that they're impaired to the point where the disability keeps them from being able to move their rubbish container to the street.
Yeah, like I said, I haven't really, if somebody has a handicap sticker on their car or something like that, I haven't heard of anybody pushing back on that.
Well, yeah, I know that for my parents, in order for them to get one, just their experience, and of course they had to, they're in their 90s, so getting paperwork to the doctor to fill out, and the doctor nowadays wants to do stuff over line, they don't even have a computer. And so I remember the nightmare they were going through, and I told them that I would handle it. They ended up, you know, going over to the doctor to manually get stuff signed and then turned in, and a little bit of a process. So I just wanted to make sure that we're clear on this, of what the procedure would be. So I do appreciate you taking the extra time here to look that up for us.
Sure. I guess at this point I'd ask Mary from Sueco if she has anything to add about the bid or the bid process.
Yeah, so thanks. Yeah, I just wanted to remind everyone that, like Joe said, Consortium 2 hadn't had a price increase in 10 years, and this is a locked-in price for 5 years, and that it includes not only your trash, but your recycling, and your yard waste pickup. So you're actually getting, you know, 3 different trucks moving through for that one rate, which in today's market is right on target to where it should be for a bid situation.
I guess the other thing that's not on there is it also includes bulk pickup. The collection, local waste would have to pick up bulk as well.
Mr. Chairman, the only other question that I would have that I can already hear people asking, well, I don't want to join. I'm not going to join. Or I'm not going to participate. I'm not paying the bill. Now, we ran into this as one of the order-serving trustees. I've been a trustee with Franklin Township for 7 years, and we had a lack of participation, and one of the things is people, I want to use my own service and I want to do this, or they just didn't use it. Who knows what happened to their trash? Franklin Township has one of the highest of all the townships of non-compliance. How do we handle that, or what does that look like? Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I know that we've worked over the last year and a half probably with I know that the Board of Health and the issue of rats and trying to get everybody to have trash service. This is the way to do it. When you award an exclusive hauler contract to one hauler, January 1st, every residential unit would be on board. And so certainly I recognize that you've had issues out there with non-payers. And, we worked with Swago and the township to kind of come up with a plan to kind of keep people on board with having trash service.
With that being said, what does it look like as far as what would be any different than what we have done before in trying to get people in compliance? Now, the part about the rats and et cetera, we experience that, we understand that. But if we circle back around to just what does it look like as far as what difference is there going to be this time by going with a consortium and having non-compliance with this? Obviously, we can't find them. We can't do anything. What would make the difference this time around?
Yeah, so the procedure is, in some of the townships, including one and Consortium 2, actually pay those services and then go put the liens on the property under the nuisance statute. But there is a Board of Health regulation requiring people to have trash service and remove it. And so that was kind of the procedure that we looked at to work with the township to see if the Board of Health regulation could be enforced either through the Board of Health or through township officers who could cite them for a minor misdemeanor.
So one last question, and I know it seems like I'm playing devil's advocate, and I'm just asking these particular questions because of the nightmares that we lived through. So one of the things that I know some of our residents are very upset about is taking taxpayer dollars to pay someone else's trash bill, even though that we turn around, it's similar to a house bill 50, and then we put it on their taxes. So my question would be, the legal aspect of it, someone's going to say, I don't know, I know our attorney's on board, Julie's on, I think, on here, and she may be able to answer this question. Someone's going to turn around and say, and argue the point, I didn't participate in the service, nor am I partaking in paying the bill. I took my trash and took it to the dump, or I did X, Y, and Z with it, so I'm not paying it. When it comes down to the legal side of that, what does that look like?
Yeah, like I said, I think that really your contractor, if you make this award, has this exclusive right to be their service provider. And so they can't go hire somebody else. We have seen some townships allow like an opt-out, but then you got to show proof that you're taking your stuff to the landfill.
Correct.
So people take it to work, but then people, I was the environmental prosecutor for 11 years. We we prosecuted a lot of people for dumping household waste, commercial dumping, that
sure.
somebody else is paying for.
Correct.
So, you know, it's best practice. I think that the legality of it is, you know, this is a utility that's being provided by the government. You don't get docked out.
See, and the only reason I'm asking this is because I can just see through my screen the heads are nodding yes and the hot heads nodding no. But a lot of people are going to say, you are lulling this onto us. And this is just from what I've heard before. And the reason I'm bringing this up now is because, again, we're not in session where other people can ask these questions. And these were a lot of the same questions that we had before. This does not mean that I am against this and et cetera. So something that you just said is that you are, you know, a government providing the service, but it's the residents that are paying the service. And sometimes what we have experienced is people are saying, you know, if I have a phone service in my home, I get the bill for the service because I've used the service. But if they lull it upon me to utilize this service, and I choose not to use that service, and that's where we run into a lot of issues. And we got into a situation with the last hauler, approximately $80,000-$90,000 that of non-compliance people, they did not pick up, nor did they actually were able to be paid for that service. So going into this one, I mean, Franklin Township is a little bit different. Like I said, they are the highest of non-compliance. And I'm, you know, just seeing how we're going to deal with that and work with the hauler as well. Is the hauler itself allowed to file anything and leave the township neutral in it?
Yeah, the hauler can file collection actions, but, you know, I think that's actually the situation you're talking about the last time is that... that was the route they were going down and they weren't getting anywhere. And so that's kind of when this idea came up that these other townships could do this nuisance abatement. And I'm not advocating that you do that, but it is working for some of the other townships in the consortium.
Yes, I've talked with one township that's just to the south of us and how that they've done it, and that they have zero people that are not compliant, and I've taken notes on how they did it, and again, like we do our House Bill 50, that seemed to work very well, as long as you get it right away. The other question that I would have, and I'll quit asking questions, and I apologize for the amount of questions, but living through the nightmare of this before, we have a lot of rental properties that are in the township, and what generally ends up happening is a renter moves out, a new tenant comes in, they go to get their trash, and they say, you owe $200 because the address on file, the people prior to, did not pay. So they're like, we're not paying someone else's trash, we'll just, you know, do away with our trash, take it to my parents' place, or whatever they do. So my question is, can the township make an ordinance or make a resolution that rental properties have to be paid, the actual homeowner or the property owner has to pay the trash bill? They then can either add it to their rent or however they want to get it from the people. That way they are assessed and they know that it's been paid.
You know, I don't believe you're a home rule township, so I don't think that authority to pass that sort of resolution exists. But what you can do in this case, because you're hiring this contractor, and you could either, you know, we have some townships that do the billing themselves, or municipalities, or some of them actually pay for these services from their general fund. Here, since you're authorizing them to do the billing on your behalf, you can mandate in the contract that they bill the owner of the property. Now, that way it's in the owner's name.
Correct.
Now, the owner's lease may say that the tenant has to pay it, but ultimately it comes back on the owner.
Correct. And that was one of the biggest issues that we had, because the high turnover with some of the properties in our area, and that would become a nightmare for all the trustees. We took calls on this continuously in regards to, I just moved in and my trash bill is $375. They contacted, as the landlord said, here's who you call to get your trash. And they would send in a quarter's worth of trash, and then their trash wasn't being picked up. And they contact the hauler, and the hauler says, well, you still owe. You know, what you sent in is just a portion of what you owe. So, you know, I think that having this conversation and making sure that we think about this ahead of time, I think that that would be vital to us to be able to say that the actual homeowner or the property owner get the bill. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I thank you for extending the time of questions.
Yeah, no problem. The one question I have is, what are the timelines and next steps so that we can plan and have all the conversations and stuff that we need to have to keep things, you know, moving forward, and we don't miss our window?
Yeah, the window's open. We put, I think, 180 days on the bid, so it's open, but obviously, for when you're talking about having seven communities, we're trying to get those decisions made as soon as possible. Some of the Consortium 2 communities have already made that decision. So I would encourage you, if you can get these to a vote in September, that would be ideal.
Yeah, I think that we would be able to do that, Mr. Chairman. I mean, that gives us some time.
Yeah, I think we could schedule and probably should do a public hearing just to get some comments on, and then maybe we are able to do that at our next regular meeting. That way we can have, you know, two other conversations about that.
One last question.
Yes, go ahead.
So our last provider, when they sent out the bill, they would also include our newsletter. Which was very helpful, because the letter was going there anyways. Is that something that they do by any chance?
Yeah, it's required in the contract that they do it quarterly, include the information about what's proper to recycle. I don't know as far as like your newsletter going out that, but you get to approve what communications they send out. So, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't have a problem with including your newsletter.
Yeah, because this is a way sometimes we give updates to our residents, and, you know, that was one of the biggest things when our contract ceased, that a lot of people, we started mailing them out every 6 months, I believe, and a lot of people were like, I was so used to knowing what was going on every quarter. So that was just a thought. Thank you, sir.
All right, Joe and Mary, thank you both for joining us. If we have other questions, I think we can just run them through Mark to get to you or email you, and hopefully we'll be able to have a decision here by the end of March.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. So next, I'm going to hand it over to Laura Esterline to talk about some real estate stuff. Laura?
Hi, can everyone hear me? Because I'm popping in on the phone this time. Can you hear me?
Yep. Okay. Sure can.
All right, awesome. I've got some great news. We've got two offers to review tonight. We've got a couple offers on 714 Hague. We have one offer for $20,000 that's verbally gone up to $22,000. And then we have offer number two, which is full price, which is $25,000.
And what would be the premise of that? Do they want to build on that?
They want to build a house.
Good. Well, I'm inclined to accept the higher offer. John, you okay with me making a resolution to do that?
Do we need a resolution now? Can that resolution state if this bidding war continues, can the resolution adopt if it needs up to 29 to 30,000?
Well, you've had about 50 calls, and we've been taking offers, but we've been getting low offers, like 17, you know, 15, 12, you know, really low. These last two offers, I pit against each other, and, you know, by saying it's a multiple offer situation, we pushed it up to 25.
So are you comfortable that that's as far as we want to go and get a resolution tonight and let it sell?
Yeah, I feel really comfortable with it. That property is had a lot of phone calls. You know, we'd like to make the neighbors happy over there. There seem to be a little bit of a war still. I think that's a very good price on that property.
So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would be fine with entertaining a resolution for the sale of that property.
Okay, so I'll make a resolution to accept the bid of $25,000 for 714 North Haig Avenue. Can I have a second, please?
I second.
And Robin, do we have a resolution number on that?
Yes, it's 2020-177.
All right. Hearing no further discussion, I'll call the question and ask for a roll call, please.
Ari?
Yes.
And John?
Yes.
Thank you.
Good job on that, by the way. That was really good.
Our next property discussed is 1207 Hart Road, and this will make you happy, John. 1207 Hart Road, we have two offers. One is $4,000, and we pitted them against each other. And the second offer is $6,600. So it's $100 over ask. And you said they don't make land anymore, so.
It's true. Gotta quit making
very
land.
I'm very happy about the $6,600 offer.
Okay, and then is that also going to be something built on it?
Yes, we've asked everybody that makes a bid to the township, we make them disclose what they want to do, and they said that they want to build a house.
Okay, because I know at one point there was a resident that wanted it just to leave it like it was, but I'm a firm believer in new stick buildings in the township. It's like planting new seeds. So
right.
Mr.
Absolutely.
Chairman, with that being said, I would entertain a resolution at this time.
Go for it.
I'd like to make a resolution. Number, what's the number?
It's going to be 2020-178.
2020-178 to accept the bid of, was that 6,000?
600. 6,600.
Address being Hart, what was that address on Hart?
1207.
Hart Road. If there's no other further questions, I would ask for a second on this.
I will second that, and I'll also call the question and ask for a roll call.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, Laura, do you have any other things for us?
Yeah, I just have a couple little housekeeping items, and Robin, I think we have to do a resolution. I just need to do offer extension. We closed a couple properties this week, 1295 Marsdale, 0 Marsdale, and 1661 Harrisburg. I just need a resolution and just to get paperwork signed that extended the offers to 9/11. We need an extension on the original offer because the title company had found some liens and it took longer to close than the contracted time. So I just want to make sure that we're in compliance.
Laura,
so I need a resolution to just extend the offer date until the end of this week, which is 9/11. Although they've already closed, we just want to make sure that the time is extended so we're in compliance.
Laura, what's those addresses again, please?
1295 Marsdale, 0 Marsdale, and 1661 Harrisburg.
Thank you.
Robin, would it be better to amend the previous resolutions, or what would your preference here be? What would the easiest thing be?
I think the resolution that we did was that we accepted the offer, and so basically we would just do a new resolution that we're just extending the timeline of the original offer. So we're just doing another resolution because it is almost two different functions. We accepted the offer. Now we need to extend it. So I would just use, okay. I would go with the next resolution.
So I'll make a resolution to extend the offers on the three properties that were just discussed through September 11th. And that would be resolution 179, is that right?
Correct, Chairman.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Could I have a second, please?
Yes, sir, I'll second.
Thank you. During the discussion, I'll call for a roll call, please.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, Laura, what else do you have for us?
That's all I have. I think I can get these properties closed within 10 days, so you'll get this money in quickly. Because we've already,
great.
I did title work ahead of time on the properties now. I kind of learned from the past experience. So we're in a better position to close faster to get some cash flow. So that's all I have this evening. Thank you for your time.
We thank you so much for the hard, diligent work that you put in on these properties and has really made a difference in the township and the residents. So we do salute you on that.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to work with you and continue to work and help. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thanks. All right, we'll move on to the next. We have a few resolutions. So I don't know if it's our fiscal officer Reinhardt or Robin are leading on those, but I'll hand it over to one of you.
Go ahead, Mary.
This is Mary. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Wonderful. Okay, the first one I'd like to introduce is one that was originally introduced August 20th, Resolution 2020-167, Engagement Letter for PwC Legal Counsel. I have spoken to the trustees individually and tried to educate a little bit about why we were wanting to do this exception case-by-case situation. And be represented by legal counsel. I will read that it's be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves an initial engagement letter for Brant Road of Seibert Road, Lackey, and Swisher for legal counsel services to include current workers' compensation matters, potential future workers' compensation matters, and any other matters as decided by the parties. The general hourly rate prior was $225, is $205 for Rowe, Seibert, and Swisher, $195 for the associate and $76 for a paralegal law clerk. The work authorized on a case-by-case basis is to be completed and subject to review and acceptance by the township fiscal officer.
Okay, I'll move to accept that resolution. Is there a second?
Question on that, if I may, Mr. Chairman. Mary, on the last part, what was it subject to? How does that work?
Review and acceptance by the township fiscal officer. So I have various criteria to look at, and I would be talking, I'd be working with the attorney. To review the case, and also with workers' comp, our workers' comp TPA, third-party administrator.
Okay.
And it's a very unlikely use of an attorney. It's very seldom that we would need it. We have a case currently that we have on appeal, and this would potentially cost us $87,500.
So would this still need, on case by case basis, still need the approval?
It always. It's the way it works. It is always case by case.
But would this be, as the case would come up, would it have to go before the board before we move forward with this attorney? Or is this?
We should never have to do an emergency unless something happened that we should always know. So I would think we can cover these. I would prefer to have the trustees decide.
Okay. With that being said, Mr. Chairman, I would second this.
Great. We have a motion and a second. I'll call the question and ask for a roll call, please.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I have resolution 2020-173, and this is basically the acceptance for the tax budget for 2021. It's also called the amended certificate, and we received this from the Franklin County Budget Commission. They signed it August 29th, 2020. And just to give you a brief review, what we're projecting currently, and these are always projections, they always will change. So I don't want anyone to get too excited about these numbers because they will change. But the total revenue expected at the beginning of the 2021 through that year, end of that year, it's $9,213,991.43. Now, in comparison, currently our budget, tax budget for this year has been revised to, has been increased to over $13 million just because we have grants. So some of these monies that are revenues are sort of pass-through revenues. Like we have some that there's one that's $2.15 million, and it is a pass through. We never see any of that money. So that does have to go on the revenue because it is one of our grants. So I would, if you want to talk to me about those exact numbers and how they work, how they are budgeted, I'd be happy to talk with anyone on that so you can understand the figures, because they're misleading. That's all I can say. When you're looking at it, you see 13 point some million, then you see 11 point some million, then you see 9, it looks like a big difference, and it has a lot to do with grants. So I would like to have a resolution to accept this budget that came from the county.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to accept the resolution. Trustee
Fleshman,
do you have any?
Would you
take a second?
Yeah, I do. A couple different things. I had a couple questions of, I did read over everything and look at it, but sometimes when you have so many line items, nothing jumped out at me. I know you worked diligently on this, and I thank you so much. Has Mark is on here. All of the heads had a look at this and see exactly what they're encumbering, and any questions come up from that?
Let me explain. It's not encumbrance. These are just revenues.
Sure. Bad choice of words. Has everyone else been okay with what they've seen as far as their departments?
I believe so. This is, what we know is coming over. We know it's coming over based on the levies that are on the books for the township for the various funds. So I would be very confident. And also, these are things that I know Mary's done a really good job of making sure these kind of basic things are done. And it's good compliance, so I applaud her on doing that. And I have no reason to think there's anything wrong with these numbers sent over by
Congress. Sure. And then lastly, Mr. Chairman, has anyone had spoke with Mr. Horn in regards to some of these numbers? In lieu of his absence, Ms. Reinhart, does this need to be passed tonight, or is there a time limit that this has to get in?
It does need to be passed. It has an October 1st deadline.
I'm sorry. It sounded like you went away from the microphone.
Sorry, we did move it over to Mark. Okay. Just let me read you a paragraph here that was that came with it from Carrie Ritchie from the county office. The amount on this resolution includes the real property state reimbursement, real property state reimbursement for rollback and homestead. It does say that in the event your subdivision passes a levy in November and or has a bond rate to be set by the Budget Commission, an amended resolution accepting the amounts and rates authorizing necessary tax levies will be forwarded to you in January. So there can be a change in the amounts, and normally there are, and they usually go up. This is really, I think we talked about this, I think one either the first or second time that I presented this, is that this is really something that we don't have a whole lot of say in. If these are numbers that are given to us by the County Budget Commission.
Okay. With that being said, Mr. Chairman, you know, and of course, in lieu of our trustee, Mr. Horn, my concern was that I would like him to have a voice in it, but with Ms. Reinhart speaking on the matter, I would like to go ahead and second the motion.
Great, thank you. Hearing no further discussion, I will call the question and ask for a roll call, please.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Thank you.
Ms. Reinhart, congratulations. We got that down. I know you guys worked long and hard on that.
Thank you. And really, about the only number that we have any input on is the special revenues, and those are basically items that are going to be that we're expecting as grants.
And thank you for explaining that in the way that you did. That makes a world of difference.
Okay, thank you. All right. We have resolution 2020-174, and this is a very simple resolution. This is supplemental appropriations number 7. We're going to have these all along through the end of the year. And this is when an appropriation is determining what we're going to do with funds, that how we're going to split them or how we're going to put them into an account. So this is preliminary to what Mr. Alex will be bringing up in a little bit. So this is, whereas it's necessary to provide for the current expenses and other expenditures of Franklin Township, Franklin County, during the year ending December 31, 2020, and whereas the annual appropriations resolution through December 31, 2020 needs amended, now therefore be it resolved by the Board of Trustees, the amounts presented below are hereby appropriated. This is regarding the local coronavirus relief 2905 fund. Other expenses will be $442,000, so the revised appropriations is $442,000 for expenses, and for capital outlay, it is $415,104 increased, so that becomes a revised appropriation of $415,104 for a total of the local coronavirus relief fund, $857,104. And these will be the funds that they're going to be appropriating in a few moments.
Great. Well, with that, I'll move to accept that resolution. Can I ask for a second, please?
I will second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question and ask for a roll call.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, and then the next one is resolution 2020-176. 175 will be the one that will be covering the CARES Act appropriations that Chairman Alex will be talking about. So this is resolution 176. For bills and payroll, Be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves bills in the amount of $67,599.76 and payroll ending on 9/1/2020 in the amount of $168,544.12 for a total of $236,143.88 from check number 64159 to 64266 and electronic vouchers from 355-2020 through 447-2020.
I'll move for acceptance of the resolution 176. Is there a second?
So moved.
Motion and a second. I'll call the question and ask for a roll call, please.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Thank you.
Anything else for you, fiscal officer?
That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Next up, we have the Police Department, Chief Smith.
Thank you, sir. Can you hear me?
Oh, yep. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. No, I'm sitting here with Mr. Pop. No, we have nothing tonight unless anyone has questions about the CARES Act funding, which I think is coming up later, correct?
Yep. That's a couple departments after you.
Okay. Yeah, and then unless you have questions, we have nothing.
Okay. John, you have any questions?
I have none, sir. I'm sure I can think of
some.
Burn daylight.
all right, moving on, we'll go to the fire department with Chief Wells.
Hi, can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
I just have a couple purchases this week to bring to the board. Engine 193 is ready for a new set of tires in the rear. I've gotten two bids, one from State Tire, one from Goodyear Tire. State Tire gave me two bids and two different options. I'd like to go with one. So, basically, what I'd like to do is get four rear tires for 193 at a price of $1,420. I request a resolution.
Is that going to be through State Tire, sir?
Yeah, State Tire.
You know, State Tire was one of the ones that is not really in the township. Is it in the township?
No, it's up north of Valley View.
One of their key players is a neighbor of mine, and it was great that they took us under their wing and has given us some great deals that you can't get anywhere else. So with that being said, I will second that.
Let's go make resolution because I have no one made. So you're moving to accept the bid. I will second that. And then Robin can give us a resolution number and do a roll call.
Yeah, the resolution number is 2020-180. And then the vote would be Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. The last four rear tires were the last four times we bought tires. State Tires beat out Goodyear every time.
Even with the road department, they even came out and put them on some of their heavy equipment in the parking lot.
Next, we need to move on to our MDCs. Each piece of equipment, we have a computer up in the passenger seat for, which shows which each individual run we're going on, and also gives us directions and a bunch of other helpful stuff. Recently, as of last week, I found out that the Columbus, who dispatches us, is upgrading their software. And the existing computers now, the reason why we haven't upgraded them in the last 10 years or so is because they met our needs. They work perfectly fine. And to be honest with you, the software we're using had to run on Windows 7. Well, with the changing times, Windows 7's not here. And they upgraded software supposedly in October. They'll be out to see us to change over our computers. And our old computers won't. So, I looked around, called Panasonic, called CDWG about these laptops that we need, and they no longer make the CF31s, which we currently use. You know, all the trucks have CF31 docking stations, so I'd like to stick with the CF31s, obviously, so we don't have the incurred cost of replacing docking stations for these computers. I found a company online, Facebook Outlet, and they give me a figures that will be perfectly fine. Matter of fact, they exceed the expectations of what we they come with a 3-year warranty, so anything that goes wrong with them in 3 years, we'll just send it right back to them. I'd like for to ask for a resolution for $5,430.50.
All right, so I'll move to have a resolution for that. Is there a second?
Question, Chief.
Yeah.
If I'm correct, the ones that we currently have with Windows 7, Windows 10 cannot accept it on that platform. Is that correct?
Yeah, I actually checked into them, and we didn't have enough RAM in them. The next computer, or the next software, requires at least 8 gigs of RAM. And
I was noting that just for the record, that software couldn't be upgraded due to the mechanics of the current status of the laptops. With that being said, I will second the resolution.
Great. Robin, can you give us the resolution number and do a roll call, please?
Yeah, resolution 2020-181, and the vote would be Ari.
Yes.
And John.
Yes.
Thank you.
That is all I have.
Do you have anything else?
Unless you got anything for me, no, that's all I had, and appreciate your time.
Thank you. And I know that... Road Department Jim Stevens unable to make it tonight. Mark, do you have anything to report out from the Road Department?
Nothing currently. Primarily, in the last about 3 weeks, we've had three large trees fall on various township roads, and the Road Department has quickly cleaned up the messes. But yeah, they're out and about doing what they do on a daily basis. So nothing else to report.
Great. Next on the agenda is me, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the CARES Act appropriations that we have here. So I know that Administrator Potts works very closely with all of our department heads and our attorneys and fiscal office to ensure that we are both appropriating and spending this money appropriately as it was designed and intended to do, to make sure that we are in complete compliance. And I know that was there are a lot of hoops to jump through there, but it sounds like we have some good agreement across all the departments. I know Julie, one of our township attorneys, is on too. And Mark, I know you've been leading on this. I don't know if either of you have things to add or kind of can help give a rundown of some of the basics here before I move to accept this resolution.
Hey Ari, I'm happy to kind of walk through some stuff. I know that as you said, the department heads, fiscal office, and Mark have worked very diligently on figuring out the best manner in order to apportion these funds for the township. Just as a brief overview of the law, and then if Mark wants to hop in on any specifics, but in terms of what the township is permitted to use CARES funds for. They have to be necessary expenditures incurred as a result of the COVID crisis, as a result of responding to the crisis, that were not accounted for in the most recent budget, and incurred basically between March 1st and December 30th. And what, in discussing with the department heads, a lot of the purchases, or the intended purchases, a lot of the uses relate to purchasing cleaning supplies for the township, purchasing additional equipment and vehicles that will assist in social distancing and helping to prevent the spread to township first responders and public safety and essential employees. We're seeing it's really easy for COVID to spread through an entire police department shift or fire department shift. So some of these purchases look like that as well. The township's worked very hard on this, and if the board does not have any questions of me, I'm happy to turn it over to Mark for further comments.
Hey, Julie, thank you very much. All I really have to add is the way the money came through the CARES Act was federal legislation passed by Congress, signed in law by the president, and then it was up to the state legislature to funnel those out, I guess you would say, to local governments all over the state. They did that through House bill. There's another Senate bill that's currently working through right now, signed by the original one was signed by Governor DeWine. OBM, the Office of Budget Management for the state of Ohio, has been kind of a repository for this. So the manner in which we receive those, you literally had to apply for these as a grant. And if you remember a few weeks ago, there was, maybe a couple of months ago, there was a resolution passed regarding these COVID funds that had to be passed by the trustees, by the board, and then forwarded over to the county auditor's office. So when this money's come in, they go to the county auditor's office. Once they've received that resolution from us, that gave them the initiative to settle these, as they would call it, over to the funds. So the fiscal office received those funds probably 2 months ago, maybe a month and a half ago, something like that. So yeah, we had to apply. This was technically, I guess you would say, a grant. You had to go through OBM to apply for this grant for this. So that's kind of the mechanism behind it. But that's really all I have to add right now.
Thank you, both of you, and everyone that worked on this. So my understanding is that we only have to read this very long resolution, but we only have to read the title of the resolution to pass it. Is that correct?
Correct. The only item I would add is that, and I don't know, I'm assuming that the board has the resolution in front of them, under Section 2, there are a few authorizations and appointments. So basically, from the police department, who is the individual that will be authorized to, you know, take action on these items? So that's item A, police, 2A. I'm sorry, 2A is, you know, on behalf of the police department, 2B on behalf of the road department, and then 2C on behalf of the administrative and fiscal office. But other than that, correct.
And we can put Administrator Potts in all of those roles, right?
Absolutely correct. I wasn't sure if the fire chief or road superintendent would be. I wasn't sure who the board would want. So yeah, correct. Mr. Potts could be.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Should we just have our legal counsel Julie go ahead and read it, and then we would go to a vote or get a second?
We don't have to read the whole resolution. We just have to read the title.
Okay.
So with that, I'll make a resolution. A resolution approving the use and encumbrance of coronavirus relief funds consistent with the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, with Section 2 A, B, and C being assigned to Township Administrator Mark Potts. And with that, I will ask for a second.
This is one of the ones I have 100 pounds taken off my shoulder. I will second that motion.
All right. So, Robin, if you could give us a resolution number and do a roll call, please.
The resolution number is 2020-175. And the vote will be Ari.
Yes.
And John.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, everyone, for moving this. This was big. Mark, yeah, you had a question, sorry.
Yeah, I will say, you know, part of this, and this is something that Julie has advised us on, was that there should be, we call them narratives in regards to the reasonings why the individual items or services or expenditures would be purchased. So those have been received from the different department heads regarding the different expenditures, and those will be on file for audit purposes or whatever purpose. Another thing I wanted to add is I believe there's probably a little bit left over in this draw, but there will be, like I said, in theory, there's going to be another another settlement to the township for around $350,000 possibly. It passed the Senate and is working its way through the House now. We can use those in the same manner, and I really want to work closely with our fiscal department and the administration building staff to work on some other ways to use that money properly. And that, of course, would be we'd work closely with our legal counsel on that.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what you all come up with. The only other thing that I wanted to report out on, which I know, Mark, you emailed us, that the ODOT contract for and planning for the West Broad Street improvement area has been scheduled. It looks like it's going to be taking place in 2022. And for everyone's record, that's sidewalks and streetlights and major beautification and improvements for pedestrian safety. In that area, from West Broad, from Wilson to Georgesville. So I know it's still 2 years out, but I'm very, very excited that that is moving forward. And then we got official notice from ODOT on that. But that is all I have. Trustee Fleshman?
Yes. What I'd like to start off with, as being a trustee for 7 years, this CARES Act that we just passed has kept me up all week, and everyone that has been working. When I say I've been a trustee for 7 years, I've been through, let's just say, not a professional board like what we have now. And Mr. Chairman, your guidance of being chairman through these difficult times with COVID-19, I salute you for the work that you've had to do and the manner that we had to do it. I thank every department that has put together and has come together to say how we can best use this. And we worked together because we only had a certain number to work with, and it had to work out. Some people, feelings could have gotten hurt, some people back and forth. But one of the things I'd like to also thank is Mr. Potts. It sounds like I just won an Emmy or something, and I'm thanking everyone, but Mr. Potts, a little over a year ago, we, as a board, recognized that we needed a professional person to help us be able to get this township to where it needs to be by not taxing the heck out of it's getting too expensive to live in the township, because the only fundings that we've had fundings that went away, and we knew that grants would be available out there. And if we had an administrator that would be able to do that, administrate and be able to find the grants. I thank our legal department for being able to look us up with a person as Mr. Potts that has the capability and comes from the background of knowing governments and how it intertwines and works. When we hired Mr. Potts on, we said that the monies that he would bring into this township would surpass his salary, and it just proved it almost in $1 million just in this one grant. So I thank everybody for working together as professionals, and I am glad to be part of this team. With that being said, sir, that's all I have.
Thank you. With Ralph not here, we'll move on to the fiscal department. Fiscal Officer Reinhardt.
Okay, I just wanted to mention that we are going to be introducing electronic pay stubs for the staff. Currently, we do direct deposit, and then we have a physical check that we print, and that gives them their information on their pay stub with withholdings and so forth. And now they'll be able to get it through email. We just need to get a few more in so we can start that process, hopefully maybe next week, but if not next week, the next payroll. I just want to mention a couple of things about the CARES funding, in that one of the things that I would like to do is to run everything by the Office of Budget Management, and I also think for transparency that we should at least let the public know some of the items that we're purchasing through the CARES Act. And we have the reasoning behind it, and it should all be following the legislation, but I think it's important for the residents of the community to know. So under the police department, we're talking about four police cars for about $184,000. And under the police department, we're also needing laptops. And these are all about infection control and so forth, of about $66,000. And on the expense side, there are payroll expenses that can be reimbursed of $53,000. And with the fire department, we're looking at payroll and so forth of about $368,000. And in a township road department, we are looking at $240 for some personal protective equipment, about $84,000 for a backhoe, and about $81,000 for a dump truck. And these are for infection control purposes, to have one person per vehicle. And these are vehicles that they could utilize. They already take them there, so it's I believe to be appropriate expense. And then also about $8,000 for sick leave and so forth. For the administrative and fiscal office, we have about $2,080 for basically infection control items. So the difference is we have about $9,000 left over to appropriate in those accounts that we set up. That's all I have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And thanks for going through all that stuff in detail. Administrator Pop, you're up.
Oh, I just dropped the mic. Is it making anyone's ears stuck out? Yeah, first of all, I just thank everyone for being online tonight and the good team we've got working together on these projects. And I appreciate all the assistance and people sending over their stuff for the board to approve and to consider. One thing in the community that was is going on is currently right now at Westland Mall. There is a drive-in. I thought it was going to be a drive-in movie, but it's a drive-in concert series. So there's a band called Mojo Flow there right now, and another band tonight. And I think it's going over, maybe it's every Thursday for the next 2 months, I believe. Or yeah, it's most dates. They've got a website. I think it's called Westland Drive-In or something like that. So it's something taking place in the township. And I will say that our staff really shine in working through the process of some of the things that go on out there. Our police staff is monitoring things, and our fire safety inspector was out there most of the day looking into stuff. So we've got a good staff out there doing those types of things. So. But just, I don't know the exact website, but if you Google Westland Drive-In, Columbus, Ohio, they'll probably have information about the upcoming concerts and stuff being there. So, but that's all I have to add, other than the fact that I'm very impressed with how we're doing things. Some of the fiscal matters and such that come through the county auditor's office, and how that's being done properly now. So look forward to more meetings like this. So thank you.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, I'm very excited about the drive-in. I think that is a great coronavirus safe way to experience our township. But hopefully there will be more exciting things to be announced at that site in the near future. With that, Mark, can you see if there are any questions that have come in from the audience?
I'm looking on my email. I don't see any questions.
Amanda, Mr. Chairman, if I may, Amanda,
yes.
Our reporter, has a few questions. She wanted to know if we could repeat those numbers. I'm sure we can email those to her, too, so that she has a list of them. Of the breakdown of the CARES Act money.
Yeah, we can probably, my guess is we can probably put that information up, and she just replied back.
She said email would be perfect.
That would be perfect, so they'll be in the minutes and such, so we'll have that available if anyone requests that. So.
We can email that to you, Amanda, no problem.
We'll also have, that will be in the minutes under the fiscal department.
Okay.
And we usually, we try to get those up pretty quickly on the website.
Are there any other questions, Mark?
I don't see any. I will go through and unmute everyone. All participants are unmuted. If there's any questions from people physically on, we have currently 12 participants on the line. So,
Mark.
Hey, this is Amanda from the Messenger. Email would be great, just because I have to write my story for next week, so if I wait for the minute, it'll be longer than when I have to have my story in. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
No problem. We can send that resolution over tomorrow.
Cool. Thanks.
All right. Well, it sounds like that's all the questions.
Anyone else in the room?
Okay. Well, I hope everyone has a great evening, and we'll see folks at our next meeting. The meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.